plane. "Take it easy, Lieutenant," she said, trying to put some warmth into it. She extended her hand. "Welcome on board." Sharman loosened up a little. "Thanks, Colonel," he mumbled. Christopher perched on the edge of the desk and gestured to the chair against the wall. "Have a seat. Relax." The lieutenant settled into the chair like a carpenter's ruler folding up, big hands on his knees. "I bet you played basketball," Colonel Christopher said, trying to smile. "No, ma'am. Track. Ran the distance events." Her brows rose. "Marathon?" Sharman smiled for the first time. It was a good, bright smile. "Did the marathon once. Once was enough." She laughed. "Well, what we're doing here is easier than a marathon." "Racetrack," they told me. Nodding. "That's right. We take the bird out to a designated test area over the ocean, then fly a figure eight while the tech geniuses downstairs get their laser working. Piece of cake." But in her mind she was thinking of the missions she'd flown over Afghanistan. 12,000-kilometer distances, mid-air refuelings, full stealth mode, pinpoint delivery of smart bombs. Going from flying a B-2 to jockeying a dumbass 747 was more than a demotion. It was a humiliation. "So there's not much for me to do, then," Lieutenant Sharman said. Christopher nodded. "Not as long as the GPS system's working." Fargo, North Dakota. KXND-TV. "What do you mean there's no satellite pictures?" Hayden Kallheimer demanded indignantly. He was standing in front of the studio's blue wall, due to be on the air with the weather report in 40 seconds. As usual, he had shown up at the last possible moment. The monitor screen that usually showed the Weather Bureau's satellite imagery was as blank as the wall. Kallheimer felt very put out. His producer shrugged her heavy shoulders. They made quite a pair. Kallheimer was long and lanky, all arms and legs. Even his head was narrow and long-jawed. He always had a slap-happy grin on his face, even when he was furious. The producer was built like a squat teddy bear, short, heavy, given to sighs of long-suffering. She sighed, in her long-suffering way, then repeated, "No satellite pictures. Something screwed up. News reports say that all the satellites are down, malfunctioning." "How in hell am I supposed to do the weather without satellite graphics? What am I supposed to do, just stand in front of the camera and look stupid?" "That wouldn't take much," the producer muttered. "What?" Louder, she said, "You'll just have the local radar imagery and the National Weather Service's forecast. Just read it off the monitor like you always do."
"That'll take 10 seconds. What do I do with the rest of my 2 minutes?"
"You'll just have to wing it." She knew that Kallheimer did not like winging it. Behind his facade of overweening self-confidence, he was still as insecure as he'd been his first day in front of the cameras.
"Heads are gonna roll over this," Kallheimer growled. "And your head's gonna be the first one."
"In 5, the floor manager shouted. 4, 3. The overhead lights turned on, and Kallheimer turned to camera 1. His toothy professional grin spread across his long, bony face.
"Hi there! It's time for your up-to-the-minute weather report."
Situation Room, the Pentagon.
The first meeting of this emergency action team is convened. General Franklin P. Higgins glanced at his Breitling wristwatch. At 11:46 a.m., 23 October, 2012.